Welcome to Curious Campus, a discussion about science, discovery, and culture. Brought to you by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm your host, Tom Mujak. Today we have episode one of a two-part series looking at the universe beyond Earth. Mars, which is the most accessible planet beyond Earth, is the next frontier in space exploration. Learning about Mars can help us understand more about our own planet and how changes in climate and atmosphere may affect Earth. It can also help us prepare for the challenges that humans will face whenever we do reach the planet Mars. Right now, there are two Mars rovers, Perseverance and Curiosity, and they're exploring the surface of the planet to help scientists learn more about its history, soil, and atmosphere. On today's program, we're talking about Mars exploration with guest Gene Creighton, director of UWM's Manfred Olson Planetarium, and Darian Dixon, a UWM alumnus who's one of the lead operators of one of the cameras on the Mars rover Perseverance. So let's get started. Welcome to both of you, Gene and Darian. And Gene, what makes Mars so fascinating for we humans?
It makes us excited because it's, as you said, the next frontier. We've been to the moon, and that was an astonishing achievement. To go to Mars would be even more so.
It is something that is in our dreams, isn't it?
It is. And if we manage to solve all the problems that we would need to get to Mars, we'll be much wiser on Earth as well.
Darian, from your standpoint, you're helping capture pictures of Mars from the Perseverance rover. Why do you think that we're all so fascinated by this planet?
Mars is a tremendous place, and you look out in the vastness of space and all its splendor, but you also get a huge sense of how lonely it is. Space is kind of there's a general consensus that it's kind of a quiet void. And for so long, humans have wondered, are there other worlds out there like us? Are we alone? And when you look at Mars, of course, you see this dry, desolate place today. But when we take these pictures from orbit and on the ground, you see so many signs of there being huge amounts of liquid water in the past, and so close that we can't help but explore this place. This is a place right next door where we see all these signs of water. This is definitely where we should be looking next. And it's fascinating.
Darian, I want to stay with you for just a moment because you graduated from UWM just, 6 years ago, and now you play a key role in this $3 billion Perseverance rover project. Tell us about your personal journey. What brought you to the point where you were able to leave Milwaukee and suddenly be working on this project that people all over the world are talking about?
It started a long time ago as a kid. I always had this interest and affinity for science and especially space and geology and the Earth. And my mother she fostered that every step of the way. She saw that affinity. She saw that interest and nurtured it between trips to the museum, trips to the library, books, documentaries, glow in the dark stars that ruined all the paint on the walls in my bedroom. She really pushed for that. And there was a brief period of time in high school where I kind of lost connection with that because I was not the strongest math student. And I was a bit fearful of the math. I was a bit fearful of all the advanced math and that sort of thing. But in 2011, I had just transferred back to UWM. This was in the fall. And I got a chance to watch the coverage of the Curiosity launch early in the morning that Saturday when the rover launched on its way to Mars. And that flipped a switch. Seeing that coverage, seeing people in mission control jumping around and excited, seeing the engineers and scientists talking about their work, that completely flipped the switch. Everything came roaring back. And I'm like, okay, this is what I should be doing. Math be damned. I'm going to figure it out. And I changed my major the next school day to geology to get the ball rolling on getting there. And through a lot of hard work and connections and projects kind of found my path.
Well, we're going to be talking more in a moment about where that path has taken you and the specific work that you're doing every day in connection with the rover. But I want to ask Jean about her personal journey because she also has a pretty interesting story of what was the trigger for her epiphany, discovering the stars.
Darian's story made me smile because there's some similarities. So I grew up in Greece, and my mother says that when I was five, I looked up at her and I said, "Mommy, how are stars born?" I don't remember that, but we'll have to assume that she's telling the truth. And it was, I guess, that interest in the cosmos that made me, like, how things work, how does the whole universe work, that made me ask in ninth grade a career counselor, what do I need to do to become an astronomer? And she said, "No, you can't do that because your eyesight isn't good enough." And I was heartbroken because I thought, well, I can't change that, so I guess I'll do the next best thing, which is physics. It turns out that she probably did me a favor because physics is a fine background to have. And the switch flipped for me when I saw the first video that came from Voyager 2 of Neptune. And I thought, oh, sign me up. What do I need to do? So I asked in the Department of Physics at the University of Athens, who's doing work on Neptune? And that was my undergraduate thesis. And I never looked back. I mean, there was astronomy all the way.
Wow. Wow. Did you ever in your journey imagine that you would be where you are today, Jean, talking literally to thousands of people, a lot of them young kids who come through the planetarium, getting their first taste of what's out there?
No. The short answer is I would not have guessed that. But on the other hand, I think that I really am made for it. So the fact that I didn't expect it doesn't mean that it isn't the perfect thing for me to do.
Well, you both have had great personal journeys. So let's talk more about Mars, the place that you are thinking of, maybe even dreaming of. Darian, from your standpoint, I mentioned the cost of the Perseverance rover program, $3 billion plus dollars. What do you think we're getting out of that? What's the value of exploring Mars the way that we are?
Yeah, we get one thing. A lot of people in the Mars community like to mention when we talk about price tags, there's one bit that's kind of lost in all that. People say, okay, we spent $3 billion on this mission. Isn't that such a waste? It's not strapping the money in a briefcase to a rocket and launching it in space with duct tape. You know, we build advanced equipment with loads of people here working in the United States, engineers, people like me, it's paying my salary, it's paying their salary. It's allowing a ton of these innovative engineering companies to exist and for them to do work. So we're really, paying ourselves to do exploration. And that's kind of as human as it gets. And we get not only that aspect, but we get the awe and the wonder. We get something that inspires children and adults the world over. We get something that spurs international cooperation in space as people look to NASA and see us as a leader and want to work with us. And there's a lot more international cooperation happening in space now, partly as a result of the success of these Mars missions. So we get a lot for that money. We get a tremendous amount of value here exploring Mars.
Gene, when you talk to kids or the adults who come through the planetarium and you do a program on Mars, do they get it? Do they understand the connection between the science that Darian and his colleagues are doing in terms of exploring the planet and how that might relate back to life here on Earth?
I try and make it very visible. In addition to what Darian said, that we're learning about another world, and this could be the first time that we find evidence of life somewhere else, which of course excites every human being on the planet and every culture. There's a whole nother aspect of this as well, and that is when you set such an ambitious goal, like going to Mars, you have to think outside the box. You have to figure out, well, how are we going to solve that problem and really look at it from a different point of view, which means that problems that plague us on Earth might get solved. Like, for example, one of my favorite examples is if you fly in space, you spend a lot of time being radiated, basically, and it can damage your eye. The solutions that we found for that also help people with macular degeneration, and there are millions of people who suffer from macular degeneration on Earth.
You know, I've heard some critics say, gee, it's nice that we're exploring this place far away, but if we are doing it because we think it is somehow going to lead or be a bridge to us someday living out in space and perhaps exploring and planting ourselves in another planet. It's a pipe dream because the distances are so great. There's no way that we could ever go ahead and move ourselves to a hospitable planet. Do you buy that? Do you think that that's a fair criticism of the whole space initiative?
I don't think that most scientists think we're going to pack our bags, you know, a few billion people, or we're going to go to Mars. I mean, I think what we walk away with is we want to explore Mars. It's going to be a small number of people. We ought to understand Mars also to understand the Earth. We are perfectly clear that this is the planet that we need to protect because this is where we're going to be living. And if Mars can teach us something about, for example, how to manage waste on Earth, boy, that would be a big plus.
Darian, how about you? Do you and your friends who are working on the Perseverance Project, do you dream that someday you might be able to be out and explore yourself, or your kids or grandkids will explore beyond Earth?
Yeah, I think that's kind of, one of the reasons we do it. I think there is a huge sense of the importance and the brilliance of human exploration. And definitely one day there's a wide variety of opinions, but I think a lot of us talk all the time about how much we would love to go to Mars, or we would love to see the generation directly after us go to Mars and actually live there and explore the planet on the idea of, packing up, thousands to millions of people and us cities on Mars and all that sort of stuff. That's not necessarily things we talk about or think about, but the near-term human exploration is definitely heavy on our minds, and we feel like every step we take every day with Perseverance is leading up to that, conquering that eventual challenge, and we're excited for it.
I know you said that you and your friends don't see that as realistic, but of course we've all seen science fiction movies or read science fiction books where it is just assumed that we will be transporting ourselves or teleporting ourselves some way, and I guess those are fun and entertaining, but not necessarily very realistic.
Yeah, not today at least, but they definitely keep a lot of inspiration and interest and hope alive, which is also nice.
We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment, but first, let me tell you all that this is Curious Campus, a discussion about science, discovery, and culture brought to you by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm your host, Tom Lujack, and today we have episode one of a two-part series that we're doing as we peer into the universe beyond Earth. We're talking about Mars exploration, and our guests are Gene Creighton, director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium, and Darian Dixon, a UWM alumnus who's one of the lead camera operators on the Mars rover Perseverance. Darian, back in 2015, the same year you graduated from UWM, the movie The Martian with Matt Damon came out. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's about Damon's character, Mark Watney, who is stranded on the planet, and painted a picture of a very, very inhospitable world. I got to ask, I presume you've seen it, your friends have seen it. Do those images go through your mind, and did that influence you at all as you were deciding whether or not Mars exploration would be something that you would like to be involved in?
Yeah, so as far as influenced me. I think it was such a good movie. It was such an entertaining movie that it definitely, just helped me reaffirm my path. It was a great movie to see at a time period where I was, getting ready to transition into graduate school, where I would be directly working on Mars rovers. And it was fun in that regard. It made me, really excited to take the next step. One thing that I love about the movie is showing the connection between Matt Damon's character stranded on Mars and all of the engineers and operators back on Earth and the things they have to do to help him get back, and them working with testbed models of the vehicle he's driving and them trying different methods of telecommunications. One thing that I appreciate now as a Mars rover operator is that in a lot of space movies, the operators, we're kind of underrepresented, and we do a lot of really challenging, amazing work behind the scenes, and it was just awesome seeing something put a lot of different operators on display there.
I was thinking about you as a camera operator, and that great scene in the movie where one of the women who was managing the photos that are taken back on Earth of Mars was able to realize that the character Mark Watney, the astronaut that was played by Damon, was actually beginning to move around the planet, and they were able to show the movement with photos. So so you did get a little bit of credit in the movie, maybe not as much as you deserve. Gene, movies like that, inspirational? Do they help go ahead and whet the appetite of the youngsters that you see coming through the planetarium?
I think so, yeah. And Martian really was a well put together movie, and it addressed correctly and specifically what were the challenges that he would need to address to survive on Mars on his own. So that was great to see. I love the whole concept of growing food on Mars, that you simply couldn't bring enough with you. You would have to grow some.
There's a great line in the movie where when Damon faces another incredible problem that has appeared in front of him. He says, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to science the blank out of this. This is really, really, really hard." And Darian, it has to make you feel good that you mastered math, because you really do need a lot of knowledge in order to do the kind of job that you're involved in, don't you?
Absolutely, do need quite a bit. Math, computer science, the whole shebang, the whole background. As operators, there really isn't always, you know, a clear skill set. And I think a lot of careers are, it's not unique, a lot of careers are that way. But we solve so many problems on a daily basis that we might come in and there is no blueprint, there is no set plan on how to solve this problem. And everyone might do it 8 different ways with a different variety of math and computer science and different skills that wide background helps. We really do have to science the heck out of stuff on a daily basis, and it's a lot of fun.
Darian, tell us about the pictures that you're taking. Mm-hmm. How difficult is it to manage these cameras that are on the rover? And is there anything that has really surprised you as you've gone about the business of capturing images on the red planet?
Yeah, taking pictures on Mars is it's a challenge. It's weird, you know, taking pictures of something that is hundreds of millions of miles away, and you are not by any means standing behind the camera. When we think about, you know, taking pictures, we think of, you know, point and click. I can adjust where I'm pointing. I can adjust my exposure, my focus on the fly, just with a flick of my wrist. We don't have any of that ability to do that in real time. And so for us, taking pictures is kind of set it, I don't want to say set it and forget it, but it is like that. We have to use all of the information at our disposal to be able to manually tell the cameras where to point, how to focus, how to expose, all of that, knowing that once we tell the camera to do that and we send that up, it's going to be 24 hours before we know the results. We're sending this up in code. It's going to do it. It's going to take the pictures. They're going to come back, and we could get it wrong. We do get it wrong sometimes. It's a process we have to refine. So operating a camera that way is tricky and challenging. But I think it's really exciting at the same time. It's really interesting work. It really drives home the nature of operating something so far away.
What's the favorite picture you've taken so far?
Favorite picture, I guess I would call it pictures, but it's the GigaPan mosaic. Some people in my team, we call it the Turkey Pan. It was several hundred image panorama that we took on the Curiosity rover, actually, when I worked on Curiosity. And at that point, it was the highest resolution mosaic ever taken from the surface of another body in our solar system. Several hundred images, tens of thousands of command parameters that we wrote and checked by hand over a couple days, working well into the night and over the weekend. And we produced just this monstrous panorama, full 360, covering a really spectacular scene that Curiosity had parked at the time. We call it the Turkey Pan because it was right before Thanksgiving. We were going on the Thanksgiving holiday, so we weren't operating for a while. And so Curiosity is going to sit here for like 4 or 5 days. Let's force it to take hours of pictures and produce this amazing panorama. And it it came out just spectacular. The level of detail, the features in the area, the rocks, the sand, the huge crater rim in the distance, it's just really picturesque. It's gorgeous.
Gene, when these pictures come back, how does someone like you, an educator in space programs, how do you use them? What will this mean to you, to your own ability to go ahead and do better programs for those people who come through the planetarium?
Well, the moment you have a good picture, so often that tells a great story in and of itself, right? Because you can show the quality of the images and how they improve over time. I must confess, I have my own connections to these things. I used to work at Caltech as a postdoc, and I had the opportunity to zip into one of the sandboxes, and I saw Pathfinder playing around, and they were explaining to me under what circumstances they had to work. And I also know the joy and also the curse of having to send off commands to things that are in space and the relentlessness of it, because you have to do it tomorrow and the day after that as well. And you get that data and you know, you're hoping for the best. So I have an appreciation for it as a user, but also as a producer.
Yeah. You know, we should also mention, Gene, that you had your own close brush with outer space as part of a program you were involved in a few years ago when you were part of the NASA's Airborne Astronomy Ambassador Program. I want you to tell us about that because it's really a neat experience.
Yeah, well, I was chosen by NASA to be one of the 26, the astronomy ambassadors. So I spent 20 hours in the stratosphere. And that was a fantastic experience because we had an opportunity to look at beautiful star-forming regions, so where baby stars are forming, which brings us back to that question I asked when I was 5. And also, this was a bonus, I got to see the best northern lights I've ever seen.
Because you were up high enough to be able to capture.
High enough, but also more importantly, north enough. So we were well in northern Canada, which means that the northern lights there are just more visible. It was fantastic.
So did that, you know, give you an appetite to do more? Do you dream that sometime in your life you might go into space?
I understand how unlikely it is that I would be chosen to go into space, like beyond the atmosphere of the Earth. But I'm okay with that. I'm actually perfectly fine to celebrate other people going into space. Frankly, it's kind of dangerous.
How about you, Darian? Any desire to get in a spacecraft and leave Earth?
I would absolutely love to go, but for a short amount of time. People always ask me, you know, would you love to go to Mars? And I think 6 to 8 months in space and then have to wait a while to come back? No, but if I could go up for a few hours or a day, that would be amazing. I would love to do that. I talk about it all the time. My wife wouldn't want me to go. She tells me she wouldn't want me to go, but for a short trip, I'd love to.
So Darian, how long before you think humans will be able to travel to the planet? I mean, we've got a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, SpaceX, some of the new companies are building rockets that they say will take us there. Do you think it's reasonable that we'll see a flight or a mission to Mars here in the next decade?
In the next decade, I'd say it might be tough. Technologically, financially, politically, we need our government to sign off on a big paycheck for that. I think in the next decade, very likely no. Within our lifetime, I'm hopeful. I'm more auspicious on that regard. But there is a lot of technological jump we need to make. Currently, we're looking at a 6 to 8 month trip to Mars only in, you know, at this right time in a 2-year window where the planets are in the best alignment. And so we're potentially talking about on a slow trip and then leaving people up there for a year and a half before they can come back. There's a technological leap that really needs to happen before we can really start thinking about doing this in earnest. And I don't think that leap has happened yet.
And so those pictures that you're helping to take will be more critical than ever because that will be our link to the planet that we might visit someday.
Absolutely, yeah. All this exploration we're doing is really uncovering the true nature of Mars, the true environment of Mars, and giving us more information about the grueling place we want to send people to camp out in one day.
Well, and Gene, perhaps one of the youngsters walking through the planetarium may be one of those Mars explorers. Who knows, right? You have to inspire them.
I tell them that because I think it's, I agree with Darian. I think we're looking at 2040s at this point. So I tell them, you are situated, you are at the right age to be able to go to Mars.
Well, what a fascinating experience that will be for someone. This has been a fascinating conversation. I really thank you for joining us today. And Darian, best of luck as you continue your work. You're going to be taking pictures there for the foreseeable future in Mars, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. On a bit of a break right now. I'm actually on leave because my first child will be born very soon. So actually taking a few months off from taking pictures, but we'll be in the future, yeah.
Well, you'll have some great pictures to show your child when they do come to this world. And we wish you the best as you both become a parent and get back to your work of exploring the planet remotely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Gene, thank you. Keep up the great work as you educate youngsters here in the Milwaukee area and adults in the Milwaukee area about the mysteries of space through the programs that you put on at the Manfred Olson Planetarium.
Thank you so much. This was great fun.
Well, that's today's episode. Thanks for listening. Curious Campus is produced by Genera Armis and Kathy Quirk. Our engineer is Jason Reavy, and I'm your host, Tom Lujack. If you enjoyed our show, please consider subscribing on your favorite podcast app.